Father, thank you for your grace and your mercy, and I thank you for the gift of life, and we're here this morning to celebrate that, and Lord, to honor you. I thank you that you've chosen us, and that you call us your children, and it's only because of your great and unending, unfathomable love for us, and I'm so grateful to stand here this morning and just praise you as Lord. And I ask that you would just fill us with your spirit and your presence, and that you would just do a mighty work here this morning as we come to worship your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. So open your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 8. I'm going to share a short story with you. And as you're turning there, I couldn't help but think as we're talking about praying and really sharing the gospel and witnessing, I read an article last night as I was kind of laying in bed trying to sleep about this shooting in Oregon. And the title of the article was, "Who is the Bravest Person in America?" And I thought, oh, this ought to be interesting. That kind of captivated me. And so I opened up the article, and their answer to that question was the very second person that the shooter asked, "Are you a Christian?" As they stood up, they had that. They knew. They saw what would happen if they confessed that. And it made me, I stopped there, and I started to think for myself, what would you do in that situation? Where would you be? You know, is your faith strong enough? Do you believe enough to stand up at that very moment? And today, this is kind of a profound day, if you think about it, as we're here to dedicate Violet and to really set this time aside as we acknowledge that we're setting her apart as a family, as a family intimately there, that we're going to raise her. We're all going to play a part in this, but mostly Ben and Jade and their family are going to raise this little girl to be one of those who would stand. And as time goes on, we see that this is a reality for us as Christians. The days are not getting easier to profess Jesus. In fact, they're getting harder and harder. And so this is really an important day for us as we, again, take a stand, and we stand for Jesus. And we have to ask ourselves, could we make that same choice? You know, you should leave today thinking about that. At any given time, we could be asked to make that same proclamation, and would we? It's a pretty powerful thing. It's a reality check. But going forward, as we move into our message today, in Matthew chapter 8, beginning in verse 5, we see this dialogue here from Jesus, but it says, "When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. 'Lord,' he said, 'my servant lies at home, paralyzed and in terrible suffering.' Jesus said to him, 'I will go and heal him.' The centurion replied, 'Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me, and I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it.' When Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, 'I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.' Then Jesus said to the centurion, 'Go, and it will be done just as you believed it would.' And his servant was healed that very hour." So this centurion seeks out Jesus. He believes that Jesus has the power to heal his servant. Jesus offers to come to this guy's house, and he humbly replies, "You know what, just say the word. That's all I need, just say the word." He's speaking to the word, and he says, "Just say the word." That's so amazing to me. The word has power. He didn't need anything else but the word of God. You and I don't need anything else but the word of God. Jesus, he's astonished at this man's faith, And we don't read anywhere in the passage where Jesus asks about the servant or his spiritual condition or his worthiness. Jesus doesn't inquire about the servant. All that mattered at that moment was the faith of the centurion. And Jesus acknowledges that. One man's faith affects another man's life. This is so appropriate. I love how the Holy Spirit works. It never ceases to amaze me that when you prepare a message and you start to speak, and then you watch the flow on a Sunday morning of how everything has this theme. And we've already seen it this morning. Prayer, intercession, my faith affecting someone else. And here we have an example of that very thing that's being played out. And then, a few chapters later in Matthew, in chapter 15, you can read a story about a woman who seeks out the Lord and asks that he heal her from a daughter who's demon-possessed. And again, we don't see Jesus asking anything about the daughter or her condition or whether or not, you know, she's worthy. We don't see anything, but instead, after much persistence on the mother's behalf, the Lord compliments her great faith and he heals her daughter. And in John 4:46, we see a similar story. A royal official seeks out Jesus for healing of his nearly dead son. Jesus speaks the word, "You may go and your son will live." And when he goes back, he finds out at that very minute that Jesus said, "Your son will live," he was healed. The very word. In Luke 5:19, we see another example of great faith. This one blows my mind because here we see a story of a few men carrying their paralytic friend. And Jesus is teaching in this house, and they're trying to get to see Jesus. They want their friend to be healed, and they're trying to get, but there's so many people that they can't do. So, of course, they do what any one of us would do, right? They climb on the roof of this person's house, tear a hole in it, and drop the guy practically on top of Jesus. I mean, we would all do that, right? Yeah, let's just go over to the Verbo's house. We're going to dig a hole through their roof, and we're going to drop our friend down. I mean, that's crazy, but these guys believe if we can just get him to Jesus, he will be healed. The woman who touches his cloak, we know that story. For 12 years, she's struggling with this condition. If I can just touch him. They have this faith in Jesus, this trust in him. And so they drop the guy down, and of course Jesus heals him, and it's this amazing. I mean, here we are, how many thousands of years later that we're reading this, you know, 2,000 years, and we're still reading about that story. I love that. It's amazing. We see, you know, just a few examples of this great faith, and the one thing that ties all these things together is that each one is a demonstration of what our faith can do in the life of somebody else. This is a powerful thing for us to take from here today, is what can we do by showing faith and moving in faith and trusting Jesus on behalf of someone else. Powerful, powerful thing. Seeking the gift of healing, perhaps, on another's behalf. And on all these cases, of course, we see the example that Jesus, because of their belief, he honors that and he heals them. I love this. This morning, I want to encourage you guys to walk in such a great faith, believing, trusting, interceding, and going to the Lord on behalf of everybody else you know. I mean, we could seriously be in those prayer corners forever interceding. But we don't have to just go to a corner. You know, we'll pray for people as I'm driving into work as I think about it. You know, just to, whenever God puts that on your heart to just intercede and go to the Lord and believe in God, read his word, and share his love. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to what? Please God. Okay? Faith. Practice it. Study his word. Read, you know, pray, and just intercede and trust that God. And remember, guys, I've prayed countless times for people to be healed, and God doesn't heal them. And I don't get discouraged, and I don't give up. I trust that God's in control. And I'll always say, you know, when I pray, Lord, it's my selfish desire, it's my selfish prayer that you would heal this person. I pray and I beg you to heal this person. But ultimately, God, it's your will. I pray your will would be done. And that if there's a lesson to be learned, that man, it would be quick. Because we all hate those long, dragged-out lessons, right? But this morning, we are here for this reason. We have gathered here to worship the Lord, to be thankful, to praise his name, and also to perform a baby dedication, which I love. I'm so excited. As Christians, as evangelical Christians, I grew up Catholic, and so I was sprinkled as a child. You know, I was, you know, baptized in the traditional Catholic way. And as I've learned since that, as evangelical Christians, we don't do that. Instead, what we do, we offer a dedication service, and we'll take time to really. It's a threefold thing that we're going to talk about here in a second. But it's really more for the parents. It's a time of dedication to the parents. But I'll talk about that in a second. But we choose to dedicate, to set our children aside to, and dedication is translated, and it means to be set apart for sacred use, okay? So this morning, we are taking time to take little Violet, and we're going to just dedicate her to the Lord. And again, that's to be used for his purposes. And in talking about this, the dedication, it is a threefold covenant, okay? The first, it's a covenant that the parents make with God as they promise to teach their children to love and honor God. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it." You know what I love about that? When he is old, he will not turn from it. I've seen countless times where there might be a little season of wandering, of rebellion, of bad choices, of seeking out and trying to figure out life. But I love how it says it when he is old. Now, you can define old however you want. You know, some of us refuse to say we're getting older and we're always 29, right? You know, but to a 10-year-old, 29 is old. So face it, we're all old, right? That's just it. But train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. I have seen so many examples, having worked with kids for so many years, of kids coming back to the Lord. You know, they might have a season of wandering, but I love this passage that the Word of God never returns void. It never returns void. So, the first part of this covenant, the threefold covenant, is that the parents make with God. They promise to teach their children to love and honor God. The second, it's a covenant that the parents make to their child as they promise to love them unconditionally and provide for them. We as Christian parents promise the Lord to love our children and to care for them. And in order for us to truly understand how to do that, we have to have a knowledge of God. 1 John 4:19 says, "We love because he first loved us." Okay, we learn what it is about loving our children, about providing for them, because we know that God loved us first. God has taught us that. He loves us. He takes care of us. He provides for us. He gives us the perfect example of love. And those of you that are parents know, just as much as God sacrificed his son for us, you would sacrifice yourself for your child. I know. I've wanted to sacrifice my children, but at the same time, don't ever touch my child. Somebody touches my child, forget it. You know, I'm starting prison ministry because that's just it. It's it. You're dead, okay? I would lay my life down for my children. We learn what love is about knowing God and looking at the perfect and wonderful example that he gives us. The third part of this covenant is dedication represents a covenant in which, this is for all of you guys here, that the church body supports the parents, okay, in the task of raising the child in the faith. So first and foremost, I believe wholeheartedly it is the parents' responsibility to raise their children. No one else's first. First and foremost, okay? But as Christians, we have a responsibility to love, support, pray for the children in our congregation. as well. And this morning, that's what we are all doing. We're all coming together as a congregation to support Ben and Jade, to support Violet. I mean, how can, look at her. She's so amazing. How could you not just love her? She is so incredibly sweet. So let me ask you a question. How many of you think that bringing a child to church and allowing them to attend Sunday school is a good thing? Raise up hands. How many of you think that's a good thing? Keep your hands up high. Show me high. Okay, look around. I want you all to see these hands, right? Because now we see all the volunteers for Sunday school right here, okay? Perfect. Okay, quickly, hands went down. Whoa! You're pushing it, dude. Okay. We do need Sunday school people. But as a family, as the body of Christ, we have a responsibility to train our children in the ways of the Lord. We do. Okay? So we see that the dedication is really a threefold covenant, one between the parents and the Lord, the parents and the child, and really the parents and the church body as a whole. And this morning, why don't you guys come on up? We'll have Ben and Jade come up. They both understand, both Ben and Jade have a clear understanding of what faith means. And it's their desire this morning to express that faith and their belief in Jesus in the dedication of their daughter. So I love that, like you guys are examples of the stories that I shared this morning in Scripture, that your faith in God is going to have a tremendous impact on her. And not only on her, but everybody that she's involved with in her life. And so I'm really excited that you guys chose to do this today. This is really neat. She is an amazing gift from God, and she is a great responsibility, which you two know full, you know, you're fully aware of. So this morning, I have a couple of questions for you guys. In answering the questions, I want you to keep in mind that you're making this promise to God, okay? Not to me, not to anybody in church, not to each other, but you're making these promises to God. And if you're willing to commit Violet to the Lord, to dedicate yourself to raising her in God's strength and for His honor and glory, then I want you to say, I do, when I ask you these questions, okay? First, do you recognize Violet as a gift from God and give Him thanks for blessing your life with this special gift? Okay. Do you then dedicate Violet to the Lord who gave her to you? Okay. Do you pledge as Christian parents that you will bring Violet up in a Christian home, looking to God for wisdom, strength, and guidance? Okay. Do you promise to give Violet every possible benefit of home, school, and church? Okay. Do you promise to pray for her on a regular basis, realizing that it's only with God's hand upon her life that she can be truly blessed? Do you ask God's blessing upon Violet's life to guide, guard, and direct her through all of her years? Finally, do you promise with God's help to guide her that she may later, of her own choice, accept Christ as Savior and Lord, dedicating herself to His service? Excellent, excellent. Now, as members of South Jordan Community Church, friends and family, we too, we take part in bringing her up in the Lord and teaching her the ways of God. So, family and friends, may I ask you a question. Do you promise to love, support, and bless Ben and Jade as they do their best to raise their daughter, Violet? Wow, that sounded great. Do you promise to love? I mean, look at her, first of all. I can't help it. She's so darn cute. I love it. God's going to use her. I know it. Do you guys promise to love little Violet and support her walk with Christ, teaching her the ways of the Lord? Excellent. Okay. As part of our dedication service, this is the hard part. This is the great part for us, but for them, it's the hard part. I ask, when I do these dedications, that each parent write a letter to Violet. Okay? And really what we do is we're writing a letter to her, kind of sharing our heart. You'll hear it in just a moment. But and then we pack these letters away, and then we give them to our children when they're at that point where they make that decision for Christ themselves. And we bring that letter out, and we give it to them. And so this morning I asked that they would, you know, they could write a joint letter, they could do it separately, and they chose to do two, which I'm really blown away. That's awesome. Usually the guy's like, forget it, here, you speak it, you know, you share it. I'm proud of you, man. That's good. So this morning, again, I want you to pack that away. I'm sure you guys will. And then when she comes to that point, and I'll tell you guys, there is nothing more amazing than when your child accepts Jesus. That it is such, I mean, I get goosebumps even thinking about it. I've been through it 5 times now. It's amazing. So when she has that moment, this is the time for you guys to break these letters out. So that being said, I'd like to take this time and allow you guys to share those letters with us. I love it. That's so awesome. I wrote a letter, and I don't read it, so you don't get to know what I wrote. But I want you guys to also give this to her at that time, too, okay? Thanks. I love it. Thank you. Let's pray. So if you'd bow your heads with me, and we're going to pray that God would grant Violet the gift of salvation when she's older, that God would uphold Ben and Jade so that they would be wonderful sources of wisdom and encouragement and guidance throughout her life. So let's pray. Lord, I do thank you so much for your grace, and I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your love for us, and I'm so grateful for this little gift in Violet that you've given us. Lord, her eyes are magnificent. Her smile is infectious. She is absolutely beautiful and a wonderful gift from you. And I know, Lord, that your hand is upon her. You've entrusted her to wonderful parents, and I pray that you would guide her and direct her, protect her, Lord, from the world and the enemy. We ask that you would use her in a mighty and a powerful way this morning as we dedicate her to you. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we trust her to your care. Lord, we worship and glorify you, and we dedicate her to the service, God, that to those that you created in your image, men and women, that you would just use her in a powerful way. And we ask that your hand would never leave her, Lord. We thank you for your word that says you will never leave us or forsake us. So we trust you with her life, and we dedicate her to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. You can be seated. Awesome. Praise the Lord. I love that. That is so sweet. So we've dedicated this little angel to God to publicly set her apart and entrust her to the one who created her. I mean, it's kind of crazy if you think about it. We're just going to give her to God who created her, right? I mean, it's kind of crazy. But we physically, and we take that time to do that this morning. Now, will she be perfect? No, not at all. Will she always be obedient to her mother or father or grandparents or aunts and uncles, whatever? No. Yeah, she's already on that, right? Will she make a bad choice or two as she grows up? Probably. Most definitely, right? Will the Lord still love her? Absolutely. And what I love about this is that this service isn't just about dedicating Violet as much as it's about dedicating all of us. If you think about this, it's about you and I acknowledging that we're different. We have been set aside. We have been consecrated. We've been made holy by the blood of Christ. We have been adopted by the Creator of the universe and made heirs to the throne of grace. Heirs. That blows my mind when I think about it. Galatians 3:29 says, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. If we belong to Christ, we are children of the Most High. And that blows my mind. I'm so excited about that. It is so encouraging. Matthew 18:2, again, he says, he called a little child and had him stand among them. And he said, check this out. This is Jesus saying this to each one of us, right? I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I don't know about you, but humbling ourselves like children. Kids make mistakes. Kids aren't perfect. Kids often choose the wrong thing. Kids that age make really bad messes in their diaper. You know, some of us, as we're a lot older, make messes in our diaper, right? Most kids think they know it all, and they have to learn things the hard way. Sound familiar? Yeah, I thought so. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord because Jesus knows the mentality of children and yet encourages you and I as adults to be like that. I am so thankful for that. To look to Him when we're in trouble. To run to Him when we're scared. Isn't that a great feeling, parent, when your child comes running into your arms, they're afraid, and they come to you for that comfort and protection? I love that feeling, to be able to protect my child. God wants us to run to Him. Ask Him when we're unsure, to not worry about tomorrow. How many of our kids come up to us and say, "Hey, Dad, how's your 401k? How's your retirement? Are we going to be okay when you finally retire?" Do kids ever even worry about that? No, they worry about, "Hey, man, is my homework done so I can go out and play?" Right? The mentality of children, Jesus is asking us to be like that, to live in that simple of faith in trusting Him. Trusting Him for everything, unconditionally. This morning, are you living like a child? Not childish, but childlike. Are you living childlike, or are you being an old stick in the mud, an old fuddy-duddy? I don't want you to be that. Don't be that way. Remember this, to be like a child. Are you living in the freedom that Christ offers? Or are you burdened down with the cares of the world and of sin and of your schedules? It's easy to do. It's easy to forget how to just live in the freedom that Christ offers us. This morning, you know, we have the elements here before us. I thought it would be a really great time for us to participate in communion together. It's a time of dedication. We've publicly acknowledged and dedicated Violet to Christ. It's a time for you and I to take a good look at ourselves and say, "You know what, Lord, I need that renewal. I need that renewing of my spirit that, you know what, I am your child and I am dedicated and I am set apart." If you have accepted Christ as your Savior, if you have gotten to that point, you realize you are free. Your sin is forgiven. What was the definition of sin that we gave? An act, a word, a deed that was contrary to God's word. How many of us have thought something that wasn't really biblical or pleasing to God, right? Okay, boom. One sin separates us from God. The Bible teaches us one sin separates us for eternity with a life with Jesus. That's hardcore. One sin sends us to hell. It's reality. So all of us look and go, "Now what? I've blown it." Well, again, when we accept Jesus, when we accept that God loved us so much that He died on the cross and paid that price for our sin, He paid the price. He shed His blood to wash my sin clean. And when I embrace that, I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven of the sins I committed 5 years ago, 20 years ago, 29 years ago, 50 years from now. My sin is washed clean. And when God sees me, He sees me through the blood of Christ as perfect. And He calls me His child. This morning, can you say that? Have you come to that place where you've made Jesus your Savior? Where you've dedicated your life to Him? Communion is for you. Those who say, "Yes, I've done that." If you haven't done that yet, well, it's really simple. It's just a matter of asking Jesus, "Forgive me. Come into my life. I need you. I have sinned at least once. I need you." And it's that simple, just acknowledging my sin and asking Him to be my Savior. It's that simple. So as we pray this morning, I want to have the worship team come up. They're gonna lead us in a song. It's a time for you to reflect. If you've got unresolved sin, give it to God. Confess it. Christian, if you're struggling, If you're struggling with worry, if you're struggling with control, we've talked kind of about, you know, it's easy for us to want to take control and just kind of thank God during the really good times. Whatever it is, give it to the Lord. If you've never accepted Christ, then say, Lord, come into my life. Come. Forgive me. Wash me clean. And I accept you as my Savior. And Christian, have you done that? Have you, when you sin, do you pray and say, Lord, please forgive me for A, B, C, D, whatever it is you commit or confess? But then how many of you say, I embrace it. I am thankful for your forgiveness. And I accept it, and Lord, I'm forgiven. And now help me to get back up and just move forward. That's what we need to do. Not just stay stuck in this, but to say, Lord, your death, your forgiveness sets me free. Yeah, I blew it. Thank you for your forgiveness. Now I'm going to go forward and I'm going to go tackle on whatever you've got, you know, for me. So this morning, as they sing the song, we'll have Ken and Kevin come up and they're going to pass out the elements. But we'll go ahead and we'll partake together. But let me share with you again my question: how are you living? What are you proclaiming? And in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 26, it says, For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whenever you drink or eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. What are you proclaiming? What are you proclaiming? Spend a few moments with the Lord. Give him those sins. Give him your life. Accept the gift of salvation and forgiveness and thank him for the price that he paid for you. And when we all have communion, we'll come up. I'll close this. We'll take it together. And then we'll have the worship team close us in the final song.